Well, thank you, Madam Chair. What we've heard this morning is very scary when we come here together to talk about higher education and science. We are 7 billion. We are facing so many problems. Problems of food security, problem of water shortage, problem of energy, problem of new materials, problem of the environment, how we go to a green economy, which is substituting now the sustainable development. All this in our planet. And we hear that by 2050, we will become 9 billion. Princess Sumaya, when she addressed the Arab region problem about the youth, she mentioned by 2015 or 2020, I don't remember the figure, but we need 100 million new job opportunities for the youth. So it's no wonder why we are having a youth marching almost throughout the streets in the Middle East, because they are worrying about their future. They look at the world because of the globalization, the social networks, Facebook, Twitter. They watch and they see how the world is developing, and in their economies, they are stagnant. Unemployment is rising in many countries in the Arab region, and also unemployment. And this is why I want to take you a drive throughout the Middle East to skim together about where are the success stories in higher education and why, and where are the failures. And also to link this with science and technology, innovation, research, and development. If you look at the Herald Tribune published last week about a conference, big conference, attended by 1,200 people in Doha, Qatar. And the Herald Tribune says, Arab Spring inspires academics to improve quality of higher education. Recent upheaval in the Middle East and North Africa can be traced largely to the region's youth, their worry about the future. And in this paper, in this conference, again, they addressed many problems I will be addressing to you today. Now, higher education, there's no doubt, is the answer to our problems. Natural resources, we cannot depend on it forever because they are not sustainable. But the brain is sustainable. We've heard today a lot about the anatomy of the brain and how much we are using of our brains. Very little, by the way. And this is why brain-intensive and knowledge economy probably is the way to our future. But we have to invest in science. We have to invest in human resources, and the human resources cannot be depleted. And I think the challenges we are facing tomorrow, we have to concentrate on our human capital, and probably also to generate the key workers to create knowledge. And knowledge cannot be created without R&D, research. And we have to invest in research, again, to train our PhDs. And you can see now huge immigration. People are moving around the world to study. In the United States, for example, the number of masters and PhD from abroad, outside the United States, raised this year by 25%, mostly from China and India, because they know they are looking for the future. And they know that R&D, research, and creation of knowledge is the future. And this is where you can reach sustainable development. So create knowledge through basic research. Again, we have to look into basic research as integral part of research, no more this applied. As a matter of fact, there is no science if there is nothing to apply. In other words, we have to integrate basic research in our academia, because this is how we generate knowledge. I know companies and corporates, they are looking for short term. They are looking sometimes for applications, but basic research is a must. And basic research now that is not supported by the corporates, it's supported by government, by universities. Again, to expand knowledge for the future. But knowledge feeds innovation. And if we don't innovate, then really, no matter how much we get in knowledge, there is no way out. We have to innovate, and we have to create the K-economy, and really to outreach to the K-society, to establish a knowledge society which can accept, particularly by the parliamentarian and the mass media, what how to speed up the science vehicle, and how to support science, and how to support universities and higher education is really a political matter. But politicians, without policies, they will not really give the answer how we meet challenges of the future. What to do? Invest in quality higher education. That's very important. I will show you now in some slides that the expansion in higher education in the Arab region is huge. By the way, hundreds of universities are created. Now the number 467 university, according to the conference held in Doha last week. So, and this has grown over a decade from 178 university to 467 university. But is the answer in the number of university? No. The answer is really how to create higher education in terms of quality and relevance, and to invest in scientific research. So higher education should be flexible to react to demands, but also to create demands. I mean, the Finland, they have created demand through the 52 institution, higher institution they are having. They created the science park, they linked with the industry, and they created demand in this communication. South Korea, they have created demands, again, to the society. So really, it's not really to react to demands, but to create new demands for the future. And to graduate, just number of graduates, this is will not serve the developmental problem. I think we have to concentrate on the entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs, they are very little in the Middle East. You have so many graduates, but you have really to look very hard to find the entrepreneurs among those who graduate. So higher education then, in short, should deliver quality and relevance, and really we should concentrate again, shift our natural resources. Middle East is very rich right now, many countries, in natural resources. And we have to shift really the outcome of those of this natural resources, which will be depleted, really to put it in higher education and to put it in science. But how to be effective? The most important thing, that really autonomy of the university and governance. And this is what wrong of the universities in Middle East. They are mostly governmental. Even the private one is ruled by bureaucracy and central command. Sustainable financial resources and transparencies. Admission policy is not decided by each university, again, by a central government. So really, the full freedom of expression and thought is a must. And this is where we can see how the youth, they are demanding. They are demanding freedom of expression to release the potential of the mind to new horizon. And this is what makes research and creativity and inquiry. So conducive environment in Middle East right now is not there. But probably after 2 years, when you meet again, probably we'll talk about it once more and we'll see a difference, because the Middle East now is changing. It is at a crossroad. Conducive environment for inquiry and clever R&D, strive for excellence and links with the industry. Now again, the lacking in Middle East universities, they have very weak bridge with the industry. And also their bridges still weak with the outreach programs, whether inside the country, inside Middle East, with other universities in the area, or abroad. Establish alliance. I think this is very important for international cooperation. Now, there are very good alliance between many universities in our part of the world with universities abroad. And thanks to so many graduates, thousands of graduates, who went abroad, studied, got their PhD, got their postdoc, when they came back, they continued bridging with their professors. And they go and spend their sabbatical there, they go and spend summer there, and this is again opening a new era of international cooperation. I will show you later in one of the transparencies here, I will show you the cooperation research, how the Middle East now differ from the past in joint program, joint research projects, and bridging really with universities abroad. Also, bridging public and private university is very weak to stimulate commercialization. Science culture, this is very important if we talk about popularizing science, really. And you get what you call, you need the parliament to back you up in terms of investing of science. They have to recognize the value of knowledge and the value for progress. I mean, turnkey technology and turnkey science is no more valid. I think you have to be partner with others to create the knowledge and to change this knowledge gradually to innovations and technology. The funding now, by the way, is 0.2% as an average, very little. Now, we have to increase this by 2015. Our investment as a percentage of our GDP at least by 1%. Some Arab countries, they've reached 1%, by the way. I've heard recently in Qatar, they are 2.4% today. Tunisia is 1.2%. Many countries, they are eager. I know the European Union, they are looking for 3%, although now they are hardly more than 2%. But investment in science as percentage of the GDP is extremely important. Now here, the progress made in higher education. Again, by the way, 7.2 million higher education students right now. I think now we are coming very close to 8 million in 2011. Instead of 300 universities, we are about 468 universities. You can see here that we have one university per 1 million population, while the world average is one university per 700,000 population. The professor-student ratio, you can compare the Arab region 1 to 25, where the OECD 1 to 14, the world average 1 to 16. I will rush through my slides here. The ranking, by the way, when Shanghai started ranking university, the Arab region received zero. In other words, not a single university was among the 500 universities in the ranking. Now you can see that some universities are moving. For example, here you have two universities in Saudi Arabia, Turkish University, Iran, Cairo University, and University of Malaysia. This is if you take the OIC university in 2011. The higher education, the public expenditure, again, we are comparable to the OECD in terms of expenditure as percent of our GDP on higher education. Government expenditure in the OECD in 2007 was 1.4%. Tunisia now is 1.7. I'm talking about government expenditure here. But you have to add later the private university, because the private, they are sponsored not from the government by themselves. They generate their own money. So you can see Egypt 1.3%, Jordan 0.8%, but remind you, Jordan, more than 50%, not 40, 40% of the universities, they are private. Some of them, many of them, they are non-profit universities. Now, again, the public expenditure on education, you can see that the Middle East is heterogeneous, is not homogeneous by any means. You can see the expenditure in Algeria on higher education, because Algeria is central government, mostly public. They don't have very little private enterprise. So you can see they spend highly on higher education, and their education is free. While in Bahrain, Egypt, Kuwait, they spend less. You cannot generalize because some countries they have the private, and some countries they have the mostly public universities. But there are new spots, oases in the Middle East. Some research universities, they are developing very quickly. For example, if you take Khoust in Saudi Arabia, this is a research university, multi-billion dollar university, is linked really with top universities in the world. Again, it's graduate study only, research-centered university, graduate study for master and PhD. It's built in the middle of on the Red Sea, in the middle of the desert, will be surrounded by many Silicon Valley to translate the outcome of research, delivery of research from the university to innovation and commercialization. I am finishing. If we look at Masdar in Abu Dhabi, Masdar Institute of Technology, this is a hub really for again graduate work, only master and PhD, linked with MIT, affiliated with MIT. And you can see here the wind tunnel at the end to generate what I call better climate inside the university during summer. And again, this is a zero carbon emission university, and will be surrounded again by industrial city, which will be built up on the delivery of this university in terms of innovations, patents, and commercialization. So another spot we can see, education city in Doha. Again, this is a hub city for capacity building in higher education. Six international universities around the world, they are again affiliated with this city in Doha. This is a multi-billion university again, linked with Carnegie Mellon University, Georgetown University, Virginia Commonwealth University, Medical College of Cornell University, and Texas A&M. Again, you can see the Bibliotheca in Alexandria, which is ICT library, which was built recently. Again, this university, this library, nourish knowledge, storage of knowledge, archiving knowledge, and holding so many conferences in connecting scientists across the area. In Jordan, for example, I should mention the Sesame project, which is built after the BASI from Germany. Again, this project, the synchrotron, is going to be a research institute to deliver research in the area. And I would like to close and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.